Grace to Be Nation, this is the Crisscross. Here's your host, Aaron George.
Grace to Be Nation, welcome to the inaugural version of the Wrestling Crisscross. My name is Aaron George, I'm your host, and yes, the crisscross is the worst wrestling maneuver of all time. We like to look at it here as a civil exchange of ideas filled with bile, inquisition, and screaming at one another. But before we go any further and tell you about the concept, what I'd like to do is bring up my co-host slash judge for the evening. Say hello to the Iceman, Mr. Ivan Vukov. Ivan, how you doing, man?
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Doing great. Looking forward to this first episode.
Yeah, it is quite
Let's see what these guys got.
Yeah, I mean, it is quite an experiment here. It's a great, let the great experiment begin, in the words of Tobias Funke.
The analrapist of all time.
Hey, man, he was almost jailed for those cards. So before we bring in our guests, because we've got some awesome guests here for tonight, I just wanted to go over a little bit what this show is. Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to bring in three contestants, and they're going to debate five wrestling-related categories. Ivan and I are going to judge each one. And the winner of each category will get a point, and at the end of the night, the people with the two highest point totals will go on to our final round, which is a blind round. Okay, and they'll still accumulate points, and towards the end we'll declare a winner slash champion, whatever we want to call it. Look, I'm going to be totally honest with you guys. If you've ever seen the podcast Movie Fights, it's basically that, but for wrestling. I don't want to take total credit for the idea because it's certainly not mine. But I thought it'd be an awesome exercise as us, as wrestling fans, to do because we are pretty contentious, and I think it could be a lot of fun. What do you think about that, Ivan?
Yeah, and another thing, no wrestling fan agrees on anything with another. So generally those arguments tend to be pretty lively and – well, entertaining. That's why we're putting this out there, I think.
I think so, too. I think they tend to agree that Roman Reigns is a beautiful man.
Yes, not a beautiful wrestler.
Well, that's why we're here to debate these things, right? So let's go right ahead and bring out our guests, okay? Our first guest, he's one of the co-hosts of PTBN's Sports Evolution podcast. He's also one of the co-authors of Return of the Hacks and PTBN's resident Batista devotee. He is the cowboy, Roger Morissette. Roger, how you doing, my man?
Oh, doing fantastic, Aaron. Ivan, thanks for having me. And breaking news, the Sports Evolution podcast is no more. We're going back to the lounge next week, Sports Lounge.
God damn it. You know, like when I was researching it, I was like, when I was going through the feed, I'm like, I'm sure he does the lounge. And then I'm like, no, there's none. So I guess it's just this, and I'm not fixing this in post.
No, never. No, don't. No. I think it flows well like this.
Yeah.
Give me a chance for the plug.
Excellent.
The lounge sounds more relaxing anyways, so.
Oh, the lounge is very relaxing, amongst other things.
You grab a cigar. What did you have for dinner tonight, Roger?
Ooh, I had Tony's Pizzeria frozen pizza with some peas. It was good.
Wait, were the peas on the pizza?
They were not. It was a separate thing. I went to D'Angelo's for lunch and had what they call their Korean barbecue steak, which should have come with a roll of toilet paper. So I had to go with a light dinner.
Sounds
What's
so
your fun. Favorite Batista movie?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's the right answer.
That's the right answer. All right, our next guest, he sits through Raw every single week for Place to Be Nation, which in itself is thankless and a torturous job. Please welcome Sir Brian Bayless. Brian, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
No, thanks for being here, man. How do you get through it every week?
To be honest, it takes about 6 hours to watch. I pause, I do stuff.
Yeah.
Do my laundry.
Like, I've been watching.
Like, pause the show.
Yeah, like I've been watching every week, and but I don't watch the promos. I only watch the matches, and that feels arduous. So I can't imagine sitting through and watching Stephanie and Roman and everybody talk each week.
Well, if half the time he has to pause to sift through his dirty underwear, then that's a bad sign.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is. All right, finally, entering the ring. Look, you've heard this guy many times throughout the years. He's the unquestioned king of the whores, He is the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato. Welcome, my good man. How are you?
What I'd like to have is for these Massachusetts morons to keep the noise down while I spit my game and school with my knowledge on the inaugural crisscross. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. I think that's enough said.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
I think you set the bar very high to begin with. So for those of you
that was Rick Rude, by the way. That's probably a promo done before all you guys were born. So
let's not go crazy, my friend. Okay. We're not that young. Those days are long gone. All right, so here we're gonna get started right to work. Okay, like I said, we're gonna go category by category. You guys are each gonna have about a minute to give your opening statements. Then we'll have a rebuttal period. Okay, and during the rebuttal, we'll open it up. You guys can argue with each other, tell us why the other guy isn't making any sense. You can scream till you're blue in the face, sever your limbs, play them like instruments, whatever you want. Okay, you guys just make your points as strong as possible, because the way you're going to get points here, it's got nothing to do with your choices. It's all to do with the arguments. You make the best argument, you'll get the point, and Ivan and I will judge and give out a point, and then we'll move on. Clear enough for everybody?
Si, senor.
Si, senor.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. You're going to win the Spanish vote right away, Mr. D'Amato. All right. So why don't we dive right in? All right. Let's go with round one.
La primera ronda.
Spanish. Spanish vote is going strong. Well, with Money in the Bank right around the corner, we asked you guys, what is the best Money in the Bank cash-in of all time? So what is the best Money in the Bank cash-in of all time? And, Brian, why don't you get us started, my man?
Okay. So I went with Seth Rollins, which was WrestleMania 31. I thought that was the best one ever. I really thought that main event with Reigns and Lesnar, you know, Reigns wasn't going to be over. It was going to be a disaster with the crowd if he won. And with Rollins in the briefcase for several months, however long he had it, cashing in with them was the perfect time. I don't know, the image of him swinging the belt on the ramp at the end of the show, that was phenomenal. And it made Rollins a star.
Okay. Okay, a strong way to start. Mr. D'Amato, what do you got?
Well, I figured these New England simpletons would pick the most obvious one. Everybody knows that WrestleMania is for the once-a-year Okie Dramoke fans that just watch once a year and get their thrill. But, of course, the biggest day of the year is the day after WrestleMania, the Raw after WrestleMania. And for one of the sickest crowds of all time was at the Izod Center after Mania 29, which was Dolph Ziggler cashing in on Alberto Del Rio. And the crowd was so great that night and with such a strong reaction that the building was condemned shortly after that. The Izod Center is no more. But it will go in infamy as one of the greatest Monday Night Raw crowds ever, and the Ziggler cash-in was a special moment on that night.
Are you implying that the Izod Center was shut down because of Dolph Ziggler?
I don't know if it was shut down. It was probably shut down because it's in that stinkhole of Jersey, and who knows what goes on over there.
All right, lots of shots fired. Lots of shots fired to start. All right, so Cowboy, finish us off here. Who do you got?
All right, I went with Edge, 2006, New Year's Revolution, I believe the name of the show was. It had the Elimination Chamber match, brutal, seeing it back when blood was still all right, seeing it as a bloody fucking mess. Looks like he survived and won, like Cena kind of always does. And then, boom, Mr. McMahon comes out, raise the cage, raise the chamber. And Edge comes in. I believe this was the first Money in the Bank cash-in. Again, you know, my knowledge is a little spotty, but I'm pretty sure of that. So it wasn't even the new briefcase. It was kind of a whole new deal. Edge comes in, spears him once, spears him twice, takes the belt. Lita's tits are everywhere. How does it get better than that? It doesn't.
Okay, Lita's tits is officially put forth as an argument, and I love it. All right, so we have Brian arguing Seth Rollins, Mr. D'Amato arguing Dolph Ziggler, and Cowboy arguing Edge. Three awesome choices. And all right, so let's go into the rebuttals. Brian, Why is Rollins, the Rollins cash in, so much better than Ziggler or Edge?
First off, the Ziggler cash in, I thought it was just amplified by the crowd that night. If that happened at a crowd, not the Raw after WrestleMania, I don't think he gets anywhere that reaction is anywhere big of a deal. And it didn't end up being that monumental, I think, either. And the Edge cash in, that's a pretty good one, I thought. But this cash in for Rollins instantly elevated him, made him a main eventer. And Edge was kind of teetering at that point anyway, but this one with Rollins jumped him right over the edge, I thought.
Jay, what do you think? Is he right? Is the Ziggler one only amplified by the crowd? Why is Ziggler more important than Rollins or Edge?
Well, more to debate the cowboy there. As far as Lita's tits go, Ziggler was led to the ring by AJ, and her tits might have not been everywhere like Lita, but she has the sweetest, finest ass in wrestling history. So that's got to count for something.
It certainly does. It certainly counts for something. Sure. Okay, Cowboy, why is Edge better than Ziggler or Rollins?
Okay, Ziggler I don't think we really even need to talk about because he's Ziggler, and we all know that that's the third one on this list, right? Right. As far as Rollins, you know, as a boxing fan, I can tell you that the most watched fight of all time is Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. Does that make it the best fight of all time? No, it does not. So just to argue that the Rollins cash-in was number one because the most people saw it because it happened at WrestleMania is bullshit. That's not what makes a good cash-in. What makes a good cash-in is the person winning it and the level of person that they're beating. So for Edge to pin John Cena, Cena kicked out. It was a little bit of a match. Was to me much more impressive than what Rollins did. Where Rollins essentially went in and fucking ruined a great match. I mean that was the first time that Reigns was, at least in my mind, even a little bit over because of the shit kicking he took from Brock. And you know, right when you have a chance to put him on top, which they're gonna do anyway. Nope, here comes Seth. It was a cop out.
Brian, what do you think?
Well, I thought the finish to WrestleMania 31 with Rollins cashing was great. I loved when he came in, the spot where Reigns spearing Lesnar and then Rollins curb stopping Reigns to win it. I thought that was awesome. And those are two huge guys in the ring fighting. It was a great match. I mean, the build to it was shit, but it was a great match. And with Rollins the briefcase that long and those two guys as the potential opponents for him, the cash in, that was the best way to give him the title, I thought.
Well, let me ask you guys a question then. Who, like, well, first of all, before we get to that, D'Amato, what do you think about Ziggler? Do you think he's the third? Like, because these guys both seem to be implying that there's the third guy here. So is there something, what makes it more important?
Well, the question, the category is what's the greatest cash-in, not who had the greatest title reign after the cash-in and who's the greatest wrestler to cash it in. I mean, everybody's just throwing a bunch of Bachinje out there to confuse the situation. We're talking about that moment. And of course, every cash-in, you're going to deal with a weakened opponent, where a guy pounces on and takes advantage of a weakened opponent at a vulnerable time of the match. That's what the cash-in is pretty much all about. So it's not about the reign after. So I'm talking about the moment with Ziggler, and yes, definitely I'm relying on the crowd hype, which was, you know, one of the greatest crowds of all time. I'm relying on that, sure, but that's all part of the cashing in experience.
Roger, Brian, let me see the argument to that. He's making a good point about how it's all about the cash in, not necessarily about what follows. Is that important to you guys or no?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with John to a point. To me, the moment for both Rollins and Edge felt a little bigger than Ziggler, even with the crowd. I mean, maybe it's just because of the status of the guys, but. That's just me. I would never disrespect Mr. D'Amato the way he's shit all over my state in the first 15 minutes of the show. Yeah.
My state, too.
Brian, what do you think?
Well, the Ziggler cash-in, I mean, the match itself, he cashed that on. Del Rio just hobbled in the corner. It's Alberto Del Rio and the most least over face act I've ever seen in my life to hold the belt. Him cashing in then. But just the crowd loved Ziggler and went huge and nuts for him. That's the whole thing. Beyond
yeah,
that,
but he was even the heel at the time. But he was the heel, and he got like the a major face reaction. I got my things screwed up.
So I don't know. It's just Del Rio. I don't think it's special cashing on Del Rio. Edge cashing on Cena, Rollins on Lesnar and Reigns, and Del Rio. Who's too special, I think.
Okay. More of
once again, my compadres, they're relying on the fact that Ziggler's, not as great in status as far as the other guys, but it's definitely the category is about the cash in moment, not so much about the opponents and the reign and the title reign.
I'd equate it to winning the AAA World Series, cashing in on Del Rio versus. Rollins and Edge were the actual real World Series.
All right, Brian, take us down file with a closing argument.
I believe Rollins, the cash in, the image of him waving the belt around the ramp, who he cashed in on, what he's become afterwards. That's the greatest cash in.
Excellent, Mr. D'Amato.
Once again. I hate to be repetitive, but I'm just going to go on with one of the greatest crowds of all time. Wrestling is all more about the crowd pops and reaction. We all know it's sports entertainment, and it's predetermined. So, and it's predetermined in order to get a rise out of the crowd. And there was no greater crowd than that night, and then that pop for Ziggler. So I'm just going to rely on that, and peace out.
Cowboy, close us off.
First cash in, lead his tits. Best opponent beaten.
The first time ain't always the greatest. Sometimes it's awkward and forgettable. Not speaking for personal experience, of course.
Maybe for you there, D'Amato. Maybe for you. Maybe that's how it is in New York.
And as we veer back into the...
When it happens, I'll let you know. When it happens, I'll let you know.
All right, boys. Three awesome arguments. Ivan, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely food for thought. I mean, I think what we need to discuss first is what criteria do we use to consider what is a great cash-in? And I think great points were raised all around, whether it's the crowd reaction, the quality of the wrestler, or the magnitude of the moment. Definitely, the reign of the champion after the cash-in, I think shouldn't play a factor in this decision because we're talking about the event itself. But, yeah, I'm mulling it over still. So I think there's three good answers there.
Yeah, I feel that way too. I mean, I think the point about it's not about what comes after is really interesting. But I don't think that can be the only argument, because like as true as that is, like there is something to be said for what it does to the person afterwards. Whereas like Edge and Rollins basically used it to catapult themselves into being main eventers forever, whereas Ziggler used it to funnel into one of the best double turns I've ever seen, where Del Rio is just kicking him in the head for like half an hour, which is great and I love, but that's as far as it went. Now, I don't know if that hurts it so much. So it's like we got to break it down. Like what the arguments they made were great. I mean, like what Brian was saying about the image of him with the belt ending WrestleMania is huge, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if that, the biggest moment, the biggest stage, that's what's got to remain in the memory of the fans. And I think if that's one of the factors we're considering, it definitely has to be a big one, because like one of the arguments was made, it's for the fans, it's for the crowd reaction.
Yeah. I would also argue that the crowd reaction to Ziggler, as huge as it is, for me anyway, like looking back, because I actually watched all three in preparation for this, because I figured you'd pick. The one for Cena, the crowd is huge into it. And I love Roger's points about McMahon there. I love Roger. I don't know how much I consider it Lita's tits. I mean, it's nice. They're a nice addition to the whole thing.
Well, someone countered it with AJ's. ass, I believe. So I think.
Yeah, you know. But I mean, this isn't really a podcast about if you're a tit or an ass man, is it?
Although we should clarify, just for the sake of argument.
I guess. I mean, we're gonna get to that probably at the next question. But what do you, let's just say they cancel each other out.
If it is, you have Roger is an expert on that subject.
Oh, all right. Well, we're gonna get there.
Well, my question about the first one, that argument that's made, because was the first one? I mean, the question is basically, Vince McMahon just invented that cash in. It wasn't a thing at that time, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
No, it was the very first one. And what I wish you would have mentioned was that he had to hand the briefcase over to Vince. Like, maybe it's been a while since you've seen it, but like that the fact that like it was all represented by him handing it over and cashing it in. And I love the points about Cena being beaten up. It's tough because they all have such an interesting. There's something interesting about each match. Del Rio's beaten up, Reigns and Lesnar in the middle of a killer match, and Cena's just gotten his ass kicked. But when it comes down to though, I think they got him pretty good with the points about Alberto Del Rio. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd say so too.
Yeah, is that pop worth the fact that? Then again, Del Rio was a champion. No one really wanted his champion, but. But it's right. You're beating John Cena, and then the other ones you're beating Reigns and Lesnar. So you think we come?
It has to be the grandeur of the moment has to count for something as well. I think with Cena and Reigns and Lesnar involved, I mean, this is, whether it's on a bigger or a smaller stage, the magnitude of that moment is seemingly bigger than the Ziggler and Del Rio one.
Yeah. So what do you say we eliminate Ziggler Del Rio?
I think that's a safe bet.
Okay, and then we go with the first one against Cena with McMahon screaming and Lita, or do we go with ending WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns? What do you think?
I'm going to go with the WrestleMania one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm leaning a bit more towards the first one.
So here I think it was such an unexpected thing being the first one.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not an established paradigm in the universe, so
yeah, you're right.
It can't necessarily be considered a cash-in because it was Vince that decided it was happening kind of on the spot.
Yeah, but no one argued that point. So like no one made that argument, right? That it was just kind of a thing on the side. So yeah, sure. But you know what? I think I'm on board with you. So I think now that once I look it over, I think we're going to go ahead and declare Seth Rollins. So Brian, you get the point.
Excellent.
So really good arguments from the three of you guys. Everybody got a feel about how this is going to work?
Yeah, I feel these nuts.
which nuts?
Your feelings
are
nuts.
I'm a sore loser. I'm a sore loser.
It is about who gives the better argument, not what you guys think is the best cash in. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
I'll take my loss like a man then.
Yeah. No, it really is because, like, to me, like, I think there's merits to all three. But the argument of – what it came down to for me anyway was the argument of all three of them felt huge. Like, they all felt huge and for different reasons, right? But I think that kind of canceled it all out. So then you went to the opponents, which were Cena and then Reigns and Lesnar. And then when you, like, they're almost even, you know? And so you have either the novelty of it being the first one versus the grandeur of it. And I think in this one, the grandeur wins out. What do you think, Ivan?
Yeah, I totally agreed. I mean, I think surprise is definitely a factor. But at some point, a finale of WrestleMania is also a pretty big surprise moment to have a cash in happen.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's, you know, yeah, we're always watching WrestleMania hoping something unbelievable will happen, and then I think the surprise comes when that something unbelievable does happen.
Yeah, and just going forward to you guys, I think though too, like what happened was you guys both attacked Ziggler a lot, right? So that's what kind of that's the argument, right? You guys both kind of argued yours was great and Ziggler's wasn't that great. So to me, that makes the argument. That's the argument, right? That's how Ziggler gets eliminated. And then we kind of base it on your arguments from there. Cool?
Yeah, I figured these Boston guys would team up on me. That's okay. I can handle it. Yeah. I can handle it.
So you know, feel free. So feel free, guys. In the next one, just go like make sure the arguments against are just as strong as your arguments for. Okay. So let's continue.
Got it. Nah, that's cool. It's cool. It's cool.
At the end of round one, Brian 1, J. Arsenio D'Amato 0, Cowboy 0. Here we go. Round two. Round two. If you could marry one woman in wrestling history, who would it be? Now, we've excluded the McMahons, because I know everyone would have voted for Linda, okay? She's beautiful, she's attractive, just everything is right about her. And it just seems silly, it would have been the obvious answer. So we asked you guys, who would you marry, if not a McMahon, from wrestling history? So go ahead, Cowboy, you start us off.
All right, so I thought this was an easy one. I went with Miss Elizabeth, and to me... When you the key word there is marry, not something else. So if you're going to marry a woman, right, this has to be a nice woman, preferably a beautiful woman, devoted woman. And Elizabeth hits big on all three of those, right? She's gorgeous, pretty. I mean, you know, she did some sort of racy stuff, but pretty wholesome compared to what would come in later years. And she was presented as a wife, as she was a wife. She got married on a wrestling show, I believe. And she, I mean, again, maybe because I was 8, 9 years old and had like a huge crush on her, but of all the women who have come in wrestling, if I was going to marry one of them, it would have to be her, because she represents to me everything that a wife should be, outside of kind of taking the physical abuse. But it was a different time back then.
Times change. Times do change. Brian, who you got?
I went with the former WWE diva Caitlyn, who's now Celeste Bonin. And the real reason I picked this is I think she looks fantastic. Also, in real life, she's very ambitious. She's a CEO of her own company now, a fitness company. Admittedly, that's not my strongest category to argue in right now. Kind of struggle to come up with someone, but I'd go with her. Inside, outside the ring, I think she's fantastic. Never heard anyone say a bad thing about her. That's really all I have to say.
All right.
I'm already married in real life, so.
Yeah, it's a total fantasy scenario, my friend. Where I think we're all.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm married now. I don't want to do it again, so.
Okay. D'Amato, close it off for us.
Okay, I'm going with, as the future Mrs. D'Amato, the lovely Miss Naomi, a very multi-talented, she's very attractive, she handles her business, and also, for those that watch Total Divas, know she's got great mothering qualities. She takes care of, you know, the Uso. She's married to the Uso, and he had kids before they were married, and she takes care of his kids. She's got mothering qualities, and last but not least, she has the finest ass. And I would use it as a pillow every night, and I would sleep well every night and use that ass as a pillow.
Oh, you're the best. You are the best. All right, so we got Cowboy arguing Elizabeth, Brian arguing Caitlin, and D'Amato arguing Naomi. Roger, why is Elizabeth better than Naomi or Caitlin?
So this is pretty easy. These two guys both clearly picked the person that they wanted to get in the sack the most. There's no question in my mind about that. And anyone who's been married knows that it's not all about that at all. Caitlin, I didn't know much about Caitlin, so I did a little research there, Brian. And, you know, about the fifth picture that pops up of Caitlin in Google Images is her in a Ray fucking Lewis jersey. Ray Lewis, aren't you a Patriots fan, Brian? How can you ever marry a woman that wears a Ray Lewis jersey? And D'Amato, We know why you're picking Naomi. You know, you threw in a couple of things. Oh, she seems pretty nice, but it was all about that ass. And that ass isn't going to be there forever, D'Amato. You're going to be married. You're going to be 75 year old. That ass is going to be either huge. It's going to be down by your fucking ankles. And you're going to have to, you know, like her. Elizabeth is the one. Elizabeth's absolutely the one. There's no question.
Brian, why not Elizabeth? Why not Naomi?
Well, for Elizabeth, you know, and as a character, absolutely, but in real life, very tough, as we all know. Naomi, I can't, you know, she comes across very well in Total Divas. She's very personable, excuse me. but for Caitlin, I think, you know, inside, outside the ring, it's the best package.
D'Amato, why not Elizabeth? What's wrong with Elizabeth? What's wrong with Caitlin?
Well, first of all, I'm very insulted that the future Mrs. D'Amato, that Roger thinks I just married, you know, somebody for her ass. I mentioned her great mothering qualities, and you know, she's a fine person on, you know, fine personality on Total Divas. So I'm very insulted that, you know, the future Mrs. D'Amato was, you know, degraded as a sex object. Now, speaking of Elizabeth, I mean, Roger just wants like a slap the ass that, you know, that's going to be like, yes, macho man, yes, dear, what time do you want your dinner? You know, don't you want a strong woman to stand up? And, I hate to go here. I hope people aren't too sensitive, but obviously the woman had a little problem with, you know, substance abuse problem. So, a very weak woman. I don't want no weak woman. That's Elizabeth. And Caitlin, you know, I don't know that much about it. She's a non-entity as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Brian says she owns some business. I don't know. That business is probably going out of business as we speak. And she's going to be on the local titty bar shaking her ass for a couple dollars there to pay the light bills. So I don't see much in her either.
Would anyone like to refute any of that?
I'll refute the outside the ring stuff. So I looked at this as a in character kind of deal. Like who would I marry? Not what they were doing. You know, I think these wrestling things are probably best left in the ring, because outside the ring there's a lot of warts everywhere. In character, in the ring, Elizabeth and D'Amato. I mean, you know, he wasn't that subservient. He acts like I watched somebody who had to be, you know, kissing my feet and you know. Washing my fucking socks. That's not that was
you said it, not me.
She showed strength when she had to. She was loyal. And
I don't know about loyal. The minute the one time Macho Man lost, she ran right to suck Hulk Hogan's cock. I don't know.
She didn't suck his cock, John. She was a weakness to the Macho Man didn't hit her, you know? I would expect if I hit my
Well,
wife,
if she didn't, then that's definitely a reason not to marry her if she doesn't do that. Oh, my God. What has this podcast become? First one.
You've made it. You've made it this.
It's these arguments and D'Amato interrupting me. It's like a normal Tuesday.
All right. Final thoughts, Roger.
I think I pretty much said what I need to say on this one. But to me, this is a very, very clear choice. And I think the show's rigged if I don't win.
Brian.
As far as Caitlin, I guess, I'm trying to say right now, if I was doing just on character on WWE, maybe not Caitlin, but if I'm doing both things outside real life and as a character, I'd definitely go with her. But not much to add from that.
Okay, D'Amato, final thoughts.
Once again, I rely on the mothering qualities. I mean, I don't want to degrade, you know, everybody to think that I'm a sex-starved animal, that I'm just going for somebody's ass. On Total Divas, she's a very nice person, takes care of the Usos' kids. So I don't know what the animals like Roger think about me, but it's definitely, she's a great person overall. I love her personality, and it'll be someone nice to talk to before going to bed at night. Not just
you
use her
so
ass for a
full
pillow.
Of shit.
All right, Ivan, where are you landing on this one?
Pillow talk.
All right. So, first off, it's as if someone declared their love for Wayne Gretzky and Tim Hortons by claiming Miss Elizabeth. You went straight to my heart, straight to my childhood crush. And on top of that, good arguments were made on her behalf. So what I had to then get over or consider, I should say, is do I go with the heart, the first love? Then the next contestant was the argument was based more on her intelligence, her entrepreneurial spirit, the intelligent, independent woman, which was a great argument in itself. And then the third one was based on mothering skills and domestic qualities and strength of character. So while the first one was for me a bar set pretty high, I think the other two arguments were equally strong as initial statements. I think where Elizabeth pulled ahead a little bit was on the rebuttals. I think there was research done. there was
Ray Lewis thrown around.
Ray Lewis thrown around, yes. I too am a Patriots fan, so I'm not sure I could even look at anyone wearing a Ray Lewis jersey.
Is Ray Lewis a football player or something?
But on the objective strength of that argument, I would still have to say that the rebuttal for
Elizabeth
was the strongest one.
The fix is in. Well, look,
Patriot fan.
I feel D'Amato. I feel you were very much conflicted here because on one hand I felt that you were going after the mothering skills, but the passion you displayed when talking about the finest ass was much higher.
I believe I said sweetest. I don't know about finest.
Excuse me. We'll refer to the tape later on. I like that you hit Elizabeth on the substance abuse. I think that was kind of important. But then Roger hit back with, I'm going with the character. And I think because this is all fantasy, I think that's a completely worthy argument. And I also enjoy
any argument about women is going to be a fantasy for me.
So, yeah, I like the argument, too, with Caitlin about how she runs her own business and stuff. I thought that was very good and smart. I think, yeah, there probably could have been something more said about her level of fitness now, which is insane. I really liked Cowboy's arguments about Elizabeth. I wouldn't have thought when I first saw them, I didn't think Elizabeth at all. I thought, oh, they'd get hammered on the drug stuff and that'd be the end of her. But with the Ray Lewis, which the ass isn't going to be there forever. And, when you look at how she's devoted, beautiful, I'm going with Elizabeth. I'm going with Roger's argument. Ivan, are you in agreement?
100%.
Roger gets the point.
Boom.
Boom.
Okay. At this point, I have to mention that Roger goes to Dunkin' Donuts about three times a day, and he said Tim Hortons sucks. So I don't know if that's gonna affect the judging for the rest of the show, but I just have to throw that out there.
Look at my surname, D'Amato, French Canadian.
I know Brian is a Dunkin' Donuts fan too, man.
You know, you're not winning any points with Ivan. Tim Horton was a Toronto Maple Leaf player.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I actually prefer Dunkin' Donuts, by the way.
Really?
Oh, jeez.
Patriots.
The fix is in. The fix is in.
I don't like either of them, really, to be honest. Like, they're not great, both of them.
Yeah, we actually – I mean, Tim Hortons is probably more of an English Canada thing, although we have them everywhere here. It's just, I think, a bigger staple in the rest of Canada than it is in Quebec.
Yeah, I'll say this. If you ever drive across Canada, you'll notice there's one like every 100 feet. Like, yeah. It's just absurd.
Like Dunkin' Donuts in Boston, yeah.
Do you guys have Tim Hortons in the States? Do they put some in there?
Yeah, in New York City.
Oh, right. All right, they have to there's have everything.
There's some in Maine, too.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially near the border in Canada, a ton of them. But there's some in Maine.
Yeah? Where are you from, Brian? You're from Massachusetts as well?
Yeah, about 10 miles... Like 10 minutes north of Boston.
Ah, okay, cool.
Salem?
I'm further south than Salem.
Perhaps an ancestor was tried as a witch. We'll have to look into that.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
All right, guys, so rolling along here. As we stand right now, Brian and Roger are tied with one apiece, and D'Amato, you're still at zero, but the game is still young. Lots of time for you guys to get back in. So let's move ahead to round three.
Ding, ding, ding.
The Rocky III ending, I see. All right. Look, it's been rumored for years, and it's in most wrestling fans' wet dreams. So what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to each pitch us a John Cena heel turn. How's it going to happen? Who's he going to be up against? Pitch the ideal John Cena heel turn. And I think there's so many ways this can go. Should be super interesting. So, D'Amato, start us off. How should John Cena go heel, and what should he do?
Okay. Upcoming is Money in the Bank. He's got a big match versus AJ Styles, of course. And after a hard-fought match, Cena pulls it out. And AJ doesn't act too heelish. He's a little disappointed. And he actually, after the match, he actually shakes Cena's hand. And the club sees this, and they come in, and they beat down AJ, and they have a falling out with AJ. And all of a sudden, Finn Balor appears out of nowhere. And Balor comes in, and the club stops to see what he's going to do. And Balor looks at him, and he helps them, and he continues to beat down on AJ. So all three of them are given AJ a merciless beating, and Cena comes in and clears the ring, and then the crowd's going bananas. And then all of a sudden, Cena starts pounding AJ, and he calls in the club, and all four of them just pound the shit out of AJ and decimate him and lay him out on a stretcher. And Cena is now the new leader of the Hustlers Club. And him, Balor, and Gallows and Anderson are the Hustlers Club, and that's Cena's heel turn.
Hustlers Club, I love it. Roger, where are you going with this?
Can Brian go next, please? Because that's kind of like exactly what I was going to say.
Womp, womp. Sure, go ahead. But you know what? Just give it a couple twists, but we'll let Brian go first so you can prepare, and then, yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, he's not going to say it as well, so you can give him all the time in the world. That's not going to happen.
Well, the rebuttals are starting early. All right, Brian, go ahead.
All right, so my Cena heel turn, not the most exciting, I think, but I think it's the way it has to be done, is Cena somehow has to join with Stephanie McMahon. She can do this. You can have a match. Not a, what's the next July pay-per-view? What is that again? Whatever the July pay-per-view is, have a match.
Battleground, probably.
At Battleground. You know, they can promote it. You can Cena versus anyone. And at the end of it, not Cena versus anyone. It's Reigns versus, you know what?
You okay?
Yeah, I just completely draw a blank. I had it thrown out, but now it's nice. If Roger wants to go now, he can, because I just completely lost mine.
Roger, you good?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. D'Amato, you might win this one by default.
Yeah.
Little mercy
I'll take it.
For
you. I'll take it. Yeah, all right, so sounds like it's a couple of DNFs so far.
Oh, bye week. Yeah, bye. I get a bye.
All right, Roger, go ahead. What do you got?
Okay, so we have the newest, the big darling in the sport today with the folks that I talk to, Shinsuke Nakamura. Right? I went to see him in Rhode Island. Very exciting. I bought his T-shirt. Everybody loves this guy. Next pay-per-view, we have Nakamura appears sometime in the next month or so. Teams up with Cena against AJ and Finn Balor. That's a good group there. Great tag team match. Nakamura going for the pin. Gets the pin, celebrating in the ring. Cena raising Nakamura's hand. The crowd going crazy. Everybody's finally cheering for Cena. And he just beats the fucking bag out of Nakamura. Sends him right back. Get back to NXT. Get back to Japan. The champ is here. That's it.
Okay. Brian, you got your thoughts cleared up?
Yeah, I'll just wing it.
Go for it, my man.
So, in order for Cena to turn heel, we'll have a Money in the Bank AJ Cena match. Finn Balor comes out, makes his debut, sides with Cena, helps him with AJ in the club. They form a mini alliance, maybe last a pay-per-view or two. And then they have a tag match, Cena and Balor versus AJ and one member of the club, either Gallows or Anderson, doesn't matter. And that match ends with Cena turning on Balor.
And is he still aligning with Stephanie in your thing here?
No, for that, seeing this his own guy, he can come out the next week, cut a promo. He's not here to please the fans anymore. He's sick of the new era. He can do the new anti-new era stuff.
Okay.
You can say no one's going to beat him. I've been here forever. He can start playing that card.
Cool. So that's the kind of heel he is? It's more the older statesman who can't be beat?
Correct. You can have Balor have him get more momentum.
Okay.
While they're teaming up together.
Yeah.
And then seeing the Barons on him. So when Balor's over enough, the turn means something.
Right. So just from Roger and before we start arguing, guys, D'Amato, can I just get more of a sense of what kind of heel Cena is after the turn?
What kind?
How does he act?
Like as much as a traditional heel as possible. I mean, he's still going to get cheered, but he's going to be a leader of the club, kind of like when Hogan joined the NWO.
Okay.
It's going to take something drawing like that, you know, with him with the Hustlers Club. They're going to be having these 4-on-1 beatings, and he's going to be the leader. That could, yeah, I would compare it definitely to Hogan with the NWO, kind of that type of you.
Cool. And Roger, you?
See, I'd go more with that monster loner type of heel, where maybe he was when the turn happens, he's kind of with the club, but he's on his own. He can't be bought. Kind of a, you know, Brock Lesnar-y, but more of a heel type of deal.
Okay, cool. Okay, so here's what we got. We got D'Amato, Cena leading the Hustlers Club as basically Hollywood Hogan. Brian, after the slow burn, turning on Finn once Finn's over and becoming kind of the elder statesman. And we got Roger arguing Cena turning on Nakamura and becoming more of a Brock Lesnar type monster. That's pretty much it, guys. In a nutshell, right?
That sounds great, Aaron.
Cool. Yes. All right. Yep. So D'Amato, why is the Hustlers Club better than turning on Finn Balor or turning on Nakamura?
Well, I think the 4-on-1 kind of like the NWO vibe, and also I think right now AJ Styles is just about as popular as anybody in the company. Balor and Nakamura are there, but as far as their promo abilities and going back and forth with Cena, I don't think it's up to AJ's standards. So I think AJ's at that level right now, where the heel turn will be most effective, and especially with the club mentality. Like you know, I keep hopping on enough, but definitely the NWO vibe with that.
Brian, what do you think? Why is the Hustlers Club not as great, and why is it better that he turns on Finn than Nakamura?
Well, first thing, AJ is pretty much a heel right now as it is. In the past 2 weeks, ever since AJ turned on Cena, AJ's getting heel reactions in the crowd. So I don't think that'll work as well if he's going to turn on AJ.
Cool. And Nakamura?
Nakamura could work. But I think you have to build someone up to make the Cena turn effective. I don't think there's anyone on the roster at the moment, actually, who's an over enough as a face for the Cena turn to work. So you have to build someone up. And Cena is getting older, and having that kind of Lesnar type heel, I don't know if that'll work anymore. I really don't.
Cool. Roger, what do you think? Why is yours better than the other two?
I think he's younger than Lesnar, right? In real years, but so I kind of agree with Brian on the AJ thing, and Finn Balor, and you know maybe you guys know more than me, but would he come up as like a face? I mean, I've heard you know him joining the club, so I think I get points for having him turn on an actual face as opposed to turning on somebody who's already a heel, and you know
it's called a double turn. It happens sometimes.
It does. It does. We weren't tasked with a double turn, D'Amato. And, you know, I think, and this is a different argument, but I think the time to turn Cena would have been to turn him against Daniel Bryan, right? That was the most over guy of the last however many years. Now that he's, you know, out of commission, as predicted by yours truly, I would have bought every John Cena shirt in the world if that would have happened, by the way, too. I mean, I can't. I don't think there's anyone in the company, even though he's only in NXT, more over than Nakamura in a true face capacity. If he turned on Nakamura, I mean, it has to be I don't see Cena kind of. He doesn't fit in with those fucking guys from the club, you know. If he's turning, he has to be on his own. And maybe he's not a monster, Brock Lesnar, but everybody's used to seeing him fucking win all the time anyway, so what's the big difference going to be? Turning on Nakamura turns the crowd against him. Turning on these other guys, I think the crowd cheers. Making it not a true turn.
All right, final...
He'll be relying on his club members, and that'll make him a real heel, because he'll be like a chicken shit, always hiding behind the club members. So I think that'll add the extra panache to his heel turn.
Until he turns on another one of the guys in the club. Right? You've got to take
that'll be
it
for
out.
A future episode. That'll be it for a future episode.
Okay, D'Amato, final thoughts.
I just made him shit, man. I'm sorry, I jumped the gun. I was a little premature, but
no, it's
yeah.
all good.
It's like I said, him hiding behind the club members and being a chicken shit heel and relying on Anderson and Gallows, that'll just enhance it even more.
Ryan, final thoughts?
I think Cena turning on Balor would work better because Balor is smaller. Having Cena bully him around, I think it would make for a better heel. And I think that's the best way to go. Build someone up with Cena together, and Cena turns on them, and they feud.
And Raj?
So we already have a real good chicken shit heel in Seth Rollins, right? That's kind of his deal, so... I think that part of the, that box is checked already, the WWE. And, you know, I was a little upset when D'Amato did the whole club thing because that's kind of where I went. But as we went through the argument, I'm happy that D'Amato took that because it just sounded so wrong coming out of his mouth. You know, it just sounded so incorrect. And Nakamura is clearly the choice. Most over guy in the company right now.
Okay. Ivan, where are you landing on this?
Ooh, this one's tough.
Yeah.
The first argument, you know, with AJ involved, the argument itself was the most convincing, mostly because the other two were winging it or unprepared,
but
no fault of their own.
I'll say this, though, but for winging it, not bad.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In the interim of having to wing it, you know, the other two arguments kind of rose up and poked holes in the overness, if you want to call it that, of AJ, which makes that one good point that Cena's turn would have to be against someone that's, you know, it would be most impactful against Daniel Bryan, but there's no one there like that. I think with the other two arguments also, though, and this doesn't mean I'm discounting them, you know, and making my choice. I think they also a couple of times poked holes in themselves.
Right. How so?
You know, one of them mentioned the Lesnar one. You know, he compared Cena's heel turn to being like Brock Lesnar, and then later mentioned, well, maybe he's not exactly like Brock Lesnar.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, you want to declare it, you got to stick to it.
Right.
I don't necessarily disagree with the content. I just think the argument itself poked a hole in itself at some point. And,
yeah, like with that, it was Roger was arguing he could be like a Brock Lesnar heel, and then Brian shot back with like, no, he won't be like that. But then there was no pushback back, which I think pushback back could have probably defeated that argument, but it didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
The other argument, like when we're talking about like the AJ stuff, what I was waiting for someone to say but nobody said was that like in a way like. Like this doesn't count at all. But like, had anyone made the argument, like it almost doesn't matter who he turns on because he's almost universally hated anyway. like in the end, like if he turns on a super over, I think the argument could be made if he turns over on a super over face, no matter what, people are gonna boo or cheer or whatever, right? Like,
I honestly think people will cheer if he turns no matter what because it's just, not the fact of who he's turning against; it's that he is turning.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what everyone wants, which was stated at the beginning,
yeah.
Or wants or dreams of or hopes for.
Yeah.
I think what
you know, the best argument to be made was that the turn be made in a way that advances the storyline as, you know, the best possible. And I'm leaning towards the AJ, but let me hear your version.
Well,
and
that's where I'm leaning too, and here's why. Like, again, like I think he would have won the argument outright if he had made the point, like, by putting him with the club, not only are you turning Cena heel, but you're making the club lamer. You know what I mean by lamer, right? Like, you're putting the guy everybody hates with the coolest faction, which will automatically make them heels. But that argument wasn't made, so that's why I don't think it's so clear cut, right? I think what it comes down to is that D'Amato had a very clear vision of what was going to happen and where it was going to go after, right? Like,
it was meticulous.
Yeah, it was a little more meticulous, and the idea of Cena. Here's where I'm getting caught up, because both the other guys have kind of like Cena as like an unbeatable guy, which is kind of what he is now. So, do you give points for the fact that they went, like, D'Amato's changing him to chicken shit, or do you go with the continuation? No one made this point, which is like, it kind of. A lot of ways it wouldn't make sense that Cena's suddenly a chicken shit because he's been unbeatable forever, right? But, like, what character is more valuable going forward? Is it the chicken shit heel or is it another Brock Lesnar?
I mean, if Brock Lesnar's still there, which actually I'm not 100% sure, maybe you can clarify with his recent news.
He's going to still be there.
So what would be the point unless, you know,
yeah,
I think it's the novelty of him becoming a chicken shit is the kind of wet dream come true for fans that don't like him, which I guess is most fans over the age of 5.
Right, 5. I think you're aiming a bit low, but yes.
7, 8.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning too, and it's funny because I think personally, of the three, the one I would like to see most is probably the Nakamura one, but I don't think the argument was made as clear as for the AJ and him and turning it into the Hustlers Club, which is the lamest name I've ever fucking heard, but it's exactly what that name should be.
Well, I'm part of the Hustlers Club. I get the magazine every month and some other cool shit that they send me, but I think that's a different thing.
All right, so D'Amato gets the point. Way to go, guys. Good argument. Look, as much as you guys felt you were winging it, I thought you guys did awesome with the arguments. So well done, both of you.
Yeah, honestly,
I thought the arguments were a little deflated. I might be a little deflated.
You don't have to keep arguing at this point. We're not arguing.
Yeah, you can.
No, I'm not arguing. I just want to get the insults in. I want to get my shots in.
All right, so look, after 3 questions, it's almost as if we planned it this way, but we didn't. We are at a 3-way tie. Everybody's got 1 point. Awesome job so far, guys. Well done.
Woo!
Everybody having fun, at least?
Woo!
I'm having a blast.
Cool, guys, cool. Like
I need to take a hot pill in a second, but I'm having a blast.
Please,
yeah,
drink
I got half a chub.
Only half. I'm sad. By the end, we'll work that full one up, okay? But seriously, though, this is the first time we're doing this. I think you guys are doing an awesome job. So we're going to take a little break now, a pause for the cause, as our friend Steve Austin says. So stick around. We'll be right back. Someone should say because. Right?
Because.
No, someone's with feeling. Someone should say it with feeling.
Because.
You can't say it at the same time. Can someone just say it?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place of Venetians, Justin Rosero here. In addition to the Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceofVenetian.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds as well. On the Place to Be podcast feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with clotheslines and headlines, main event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super shows. Relive Wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We also have sports covered too with the Sports Lounge, the TJ McClune Show, and NBA Team Podcast. On our brand new PTB Pop podcast feed, we offer great shows such as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both feeds on iTunes and be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows are available on PlaceofVenetian.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to check out on the right-hand side of the site for details on how to support the site when you shop at Amazon and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceofVenetian.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickerstaff, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the reaction shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We've got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Back at the crisscross. We've had an awesome opening round so far. I want to thank our guests. They've been just tremendous so far. Guys, check out Place to Be Nation for all your pop culture needs. We have articles going up every single day. We have podcasts going up every single day. It's an awesome site. Please check it out. If you have to buy anything through Amazon, please use the link at placetobenation.com. It doesn't cost you a penny, and you'll just be buying your Amazon things the same you are, same as always, but we'll get a bit of money kicked back to the site to help upkeep for maintenance and so on and so forth. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. It feels like I've heard the advertisement many, many times. All right. Ivan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Hanging in there. The guys are giving great answers. I think this is a resounding success.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what the
this is the steel chair of illegal weapons in terms of podcasts. This is the mother of all podcasts, I'd say.
Wow, you're building this up to be something it clearly isn't, but thank you for your optimism. Is the steel chair the quick debate. Is the steel chair the greatest weapon in wrestling history?
Hands down.
Roger, what do you think?
Either that or Mitch.
The plant? The goddamn plant? Tomato, what do you think?
Oh, he stole my answer. Wait, I'm going to have to come up with another one. Betsy, the barbed wire.
Brian?
I like steel chair. I also like the brass knucks back in the 80s. I like that.
Regal. Yeah, Regal.
I like the brass knucks that look like tape. The ones that Flair used to have?
The reason I say steel chair is because any layman, you ask them what a wrestler uses to cheat, 90% are saying steel chair.
Yeah, well, it's not Family Feud, and I'm not Steve Harvey looking at the audience with disdain.
Good answer, good answer.
I feel like I've watched a Family Feud marathon the other day, and I feel like they just put the biggest idiots in the world on there to upset this poor man. And if you watch it from that...
Kind of similar to what we're doing here.
But indeed, who are the idiots and who is the poor man? A question for our listeners.
I think that's the point, though, right? They want to get people who are, you know...
Well, yeah, of course.
Smart people. All the right answers are boring.
Yeah, because
I think the first thing you said, Roger, that's the first thing you said that I won't argue with about the idiots.
Family Feud is now about Steve Harvey's reactions half the time, so it's not even, you know, to do with the competition.
Ooh, there's a whole other debate. Best Family Feud host. Steve Harvey, Ray Combs, the other guy who kissed everyone.
No, Richard Dawson. Yeah, Richard Dawson. Come on.
Yeah. Wonderfully parodied in National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that the best of all vacations?
No.
Christmas Vacation's the best.
Is Christmas the best holiday?
You're opening up so many cans of worms here. What about Ramadan? We're in Ramadan right now. No, we just finished Ramadan, didn't we?
Nah, it just started.
It just started?
Just started, I think. Yeah.
I know nothing, apparently. I'm culturally...
I'm saving my best arguments for the game.
Smart move. Well, let's get back to it, guys. Round four.
Round number four.
It's a scary clown. That's what it feels like, a scary clown. Simple question. Everybody's tied up, so the game, it's anybody's game at this point. Simple question for round four. Who is the most overrated wrestler in the WWE today? Roger, start us off.
All right, I'm going to preface this by saying that the judges are judging on the argument and not on their personal feelings, because I picked a guy that everybody loves, and that's Mr. Kevin Owens, probably no surprise to D'Amato, who's watched a wrestling event or two with me. So everybody loves Kevin Owens. Everybody fucking loves Kevin Owens. And to me, he is, doesn't care really about himself, doesn't take the time in the gym, kind of just a fat guy, right? You know, fat guy.
It's the Vince Russo argument.
But I also, his matches bother me in that it seems like it's kind of, there's not a lot of sustained action for me in his matches. It's more like one big spot, lay around, I'm hurt, because he's fucking fat and has to catch his breath, right? Then another big spot, then another big spot. And, his mic works okay, but I think it kind of comes off like a whiny little bitch on the mic. And just overall, I mean, I saw him in January of 2014 in Ring of Honor. He was about like the six matches away from the main event as Kevin Steen, and I hadn't been to wrestling in a while, and you know, there were some guys on that card that I walked away and said, wow, those guys were good, and that he made no impression at all. So I think it's a case of the internet fanboys all kind of getting together and telling each other that this guy's awesome when in fact he sucks.
Okay, so we have the first fat shamer in crisscross history. That's good. That's good. I'm happy. Let's go with D'Amato. Who you got? Most overrated.
Oh, the former U.S. champion, Kalisto. This guy, I mean, he's all flying, no ring psychology, no movements, just one high spot to the next without regard for his opponent or himself. As a matter of fact, he's the only jamoke that needs a prop to enter the ring. You know, before he gets into the ring, they got the poor ring attendant scrubs got to sneak a little trampoline down, and so he's got his little trampoline flying entrance. The only one that was cool on the trampoline was Dennis Stamp, and he just jumps. So he doesn't do any tricks. And Kalisto, he's all tricks. He's got a whack finishing move that Salido del Me Nuts or whatever, Salido del Sol, Soul of My Ass, whatever, where he does all the work and he just kind of drops the guy. He does all a little fancy flip and just drops it. It doesn't look devastating at all. It couldn't hurt a 4-year-old, Salido del Sol My Ass. And that's it, man.
So is it the Salido del Sol
overrated?
My Nuts or My Ass?
Whatever, as bad as it is, man. It depends on how bad it comes off, man. It's both.
All right, fair enough. Brian, most overrated wrestler in the WWE.
All right, I went with Dolph Ziggler. I mean, this guy's gimmick is that he's a show stealer, and he hasn't stole a show since he cashed that briefcase in 3 years ago. I watch this guy wrestle. I want to change the channel now. It's like watching a failing Shawn Michaels tribute act. His character's unoriginal. His character's unoriginal. He's terrible on the microphone. He tries to tell jokes. He's a horror show. He does that. When you watch him wrestle, he just bumps around. He doesn't know how to really sell anything. He works too fast sometimes. His offense looks like garbage. They've given this guy opportunities before with AJ Lee. That act was terrible. His personality doesn't come across in any manner, I think. He tried 2 weeks ago to be funny and do that impression on Jericho's 1001 holds, you know, from WCW, and it was awful. I don't think anything he does is interesting at all anymore. And this guy was someone the fans clamored for the years, and he's shown time and time again he doesn't have it.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so Roger, why is Kevin Owens more overrated than Kalisto and Dolph Ziggler? And just for everybody, too, I've heard a lot about why each of your guys sucks in your eyes, but I'd like to hear just a bit more, too, about why they're actually overrated as opposed to what's just wrong with them. Okay, but please tell me why Owens is more overrated than Kalisto and Ziggler as well.
So two things. First of all, my guy's the only one that anyone thinks is any good, so I should just win this automatically. These two guys picked a couple of – yeah. I mean, it's easy to say, you know, Pablo Sandoval's overrated as a third baseman. He sucks. Everybody knows Ziggler sucks. Everybody knows Kalisto sucks. He's a never have and never will be. Both guys. I mean, Ziggler used to be all right, but I mean, how can a guy be overrated who's losing to Baron fucking Corbin on the pre-show, right? I mean, Owens is in the title picture. He's one of the five most over guys in the company, and I think it's a complete farce based on the reasons I said. But again, if you're going to argue about overrated, for someone to be overrated, people have to actually think that they're good, and neither of your guys have that. And I'd love to hear you argue against that.
Me too. D'Amato, go ahead.
Oh, Kalisto was just the U.S. champion. He just lost the belt. And I don't know if you've been to a show with Kalisto, but when he comes out, the friggin' fucktards go crazy over it. And they do that lucha. They throw their hands up in there. They go bananas for him. So I don't know what shows you're watching, but he was a champion, so... And I know Owens doesn't have any belts.
They go crazy for him like they go crazy for fucking Fandango. Same thing. They do the little dance and then everybody sleeps through the match or goes gets a soda.
Hey, he had a belt. He was just the U.S. champion. So obviously somebody saw something about him. Owens hasn't had a belt in a while, so.
Yeah, you think that Kalisto is held in higher regard than Kevin Owens?
No.
Okay, thank you.
But he is held in high regard by a lot of people, so.
Brian, what do you think about all this? Why is Dolph Ziggler more overrated than Owens and Kalisto?
First off, for Owens, the argument for him being overrated, I just don't see it. I think what he does is very good. And Kalisto, I think he's properly rated. He was, a lower card champion and wasn't treated very highly at that. I don't think he's very highly rated. Ziggler, I mean, he was a former world champion. He's someone the fans respond well as Ziggler when he first comes out, but once the bell rings, no one cares. He still has name recognition in the company, Ziggler. Kalisto never has, really. Probably never will, and Owens is starting to gain some. So for a veteran who's been there that long, who's getting worse by the minute, I think Ziggler's more rated than both of them.
But by that rationale, guys, I should have just gone with Kane. Totally overrated.
Jordan Duncan is furious at you right now. All right. Okay, so final thought, Roger.
I feel like I'm the only one who picked someone who would be considered one of the top 25 best wrestlers in the world today and made a valid argument as to why, obviously these are matters of opinion about why I think he's overrated.
D'Amato, final thought.
Final thought, yeah. Ziggler's kind of a non-entity now, so I don't know. I don't think he's rated at all. He's not overrated or underrated. He's is just about non-existent. And as far as Owens goes, I mean, you said you don't want us to say how great they are. It's more about the ratings. So it's just Rogers' opinion, but Owens brings it, and he deserves all the praise. Well, he deserves all the praise that he gets. I mean, the guy can talk. He gives a promo. And as far as coming off as a whiny bitch, isn't that what a heel is supposed to do? You're supposed to come off as a whiny bitch to make the fans hate you. That's Wrestling 101, which I think the Cowboy missed that class, which is ironic because, he used to do some column called The Cowboy Goes to Class, but I think he skipped that class.
So, that's a great point. That is a great point, John. That is a great point.
Thank you. And as far as the fat shaming goes, I've heard, I don't know myself, but I've heard that there's women out there that might be carrying a few extra pounds, but they deliver the goods more than women that are in shape, from what I heard. So, there goes enough said about that.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I think there is a valid argument that his matches are spot fests, and there's not a good flow to them, and there's a bit of resting, and I don't think he's terrible. Terrible. He gets put on such a fucking pedestal, and I think
his cardio is good for a fat flub, though. You can't judge a book by the covers.
And I love a lot of the indie guys, but I think it's a lot of it is that he came up through the indies, and people feel like, oh, this is our guy because I watched him wrestle in a high school fucking gym, and that's not what makes a great wrestler to me.
Yeah, but right now there's like 20 guys like that, so how come it's just him that's overrated? There's right now though, half the rosters came from the indies. It's not just him anymore.
He's the most overrated of those guys.
In your humble opinion, yes.
In my humble opinion, I could only pick one.
Brian, final thoughts.
I still think Ziggler. I mean, his star has fallen, but the fans still react wildly every time he comes out. And then once the bell rings, like I said before, no one cares. And his microphone work is the worst in the company, probably. And this is someone people clamor for years to be a star. And I don't know, like, he's still overrated.
That's only the horny broads that are making a noise, because he is kind of a good-looking guy. And, the horny, hard-up broads are the ones making all the noise.
It could be true.
Ivan, where you landed on this?
Oh, is that sexist, horny... Horny broads, is that which
he's
one is
completely, right? I feel like he's completely irrelevant at this point.
I don't know. I think referring to women as broads might be considered sexist, but I'm not offended by it.
I apologize. I apologize to the one woman that's listening to this.
I got this thing on speaker. Hey, Katie accepts your apology, D'Amato, so you're okay.
Oh, she's a queen. She's a queen. Don't let her listen, please. Don't let her hear this.
But not the First Lady of Wrestling. She is not the First Lady of Wrestling.
Yeah, if she was, she'd be dead like Elizabeth.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I really lost that.
Oh, whoa. I'm sorry. Plus.
We're into the Uh-oh. Dead wives portion of the show. Okay, so
I already lost the argument. I'm sorry.
Okay, listen. Ivan, where you landed on this?
Okay, well, I think one of the problems with this is that everybody had a different definition of what overrated is.
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with how you're initially rated. So I was jumping around being convinced by each of the arguments based on what each person thought, each person was arguing that overrated meant.
Yeah.
I mean, just because Kevin Owens is highly rated doesn't make him the most overrated. Simply right. Because the other two are non-entities. Someone that's barely in the WWE can be overrated because they belong in my backyard wrestling.
Right.
Now, it just depends on the degree to which they are overrated. Now, let me preface my decision by asking a question. If I completely disagree with the assessment and the argument is well made, need I vote for that argument?
I think that's part of it. Like, look, obviously you're talking about Kevin Owens.
Absolutely, yeah, because any fat man that can do what he does,
yeah,
I would say is even underrated. Because if you were remotely in shape, he'd be flying circles around all these people.
Yeah, but that argument is irrelevant because that's like what
exactly.
Because I agree, like when he picked Kevin Owens, I was like, all right, that's going to be an interesting argument. But I thought the argument was well made. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And,
so,
and I think it's strong.
As much as I hate the subject matter, the argument itself was somewhat well made, and I think, you know, I don't know if, I mean, you know, Dolph Ziggler, yeah, fine. He was maybe a couple years ago when they were pushing him overrated, but I don't think he's really anywhere now. You know, like he's not.
Yeah, and I think, again, I think this is actually probably this. I think when Roger hit them with, like, both of your guys, no one cares about them, like, and everybody knows they suck, I think that kind of was kind of a knockout blow to both of them. What do you think?
In some way, yeah, based on the argument, but I'm not sure if it's, you know, it's not about them sucking. It's about them being evaluated higher than they suck.
Higher than they are. They are actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like,
but that was Roger's argument, is that like neither one of them are evaluated or are thought to be anywhere high to begin with. So if anybody likes, like, it's not like Kevin Owens,
right, which makes the point that his argument or his subject matter has a higher place from which to fall.
Exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, he's going with a degree. He's let's say he's a diver starting off with a higher degree of difficulty than the other two. So yeah, automatically, whether he pulls it off or not, or I mean, whether he pulls it off nicely or not, the fact that he pulled off a higher degree of difficulty, arguing Kevin Owens, somewhat automatically gives him a bigger victory.
I think so, but I think he also just made the point clearer as to why he was overrated. And not that he made the point clear. I think they all made their points quite clear because I think their arguments as to why each person is overrated were all quite clear and quite pertinent.
Yeah.
But I think I think Roger gave the most
differentiator.
Yeah, I think he gave the most pushback as to why the other ones are not overrated. And to me, I think that's what won it. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think I completely disagree with his assessment,
yeah,
and I don't think he made the case that Kevin Owens is overrated to me, but
no,
he was able to refute the fact that the other two are overrated.
Yeah, that's how I felt.
Whereas,
too.
Plus, you know, he picked a higher target than the other two did, for sure. So, I mean, to be honest, someone mentioned Kane, and I find him more overrated than all those other three, but that's my opinion.
Well, that becomes a question then of, like, what is overrated? Is it based on fans? Is it based on this? Is it based on that? And, like, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other question.
Like, based on wrestling ability, it's Hulk Hogan, 100%.
No. No, that's we're going to have that debate sometime.
But he's my favorite wrestler of all time, but that has nothing to do necessarily with his ability as a wrestler.
Right.
Because you did say which wrestler is the most overrated, not which character or which persona.
Right.
So,
but I kind of
my
feel
first interpretation of the question would have been wrestling ability.
Right. Well, I guess. I mean, like, when I say – when I how I intend – I guess it could be more specific in the future, but I intended it really just as, like, a total package. But you're right.
Yeah.
It could have been interpreted that way. But all that to be said, Roger gets the point.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, big upset there. Big upset. I would have loved to do this 2 years ago so I could have picked Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I don't know if you would have won. Emotion would have been running too high for you to win that one. Honestly,
well, see, even if you attacked our homeboy, doesn't mean we can't be impartial.
Yeah. Of the three choices, I
that's
think...
That's why I prefaced it by saying, I know you're not going to agree with me.
Yeah, yeah.
But
see, I think I would have probably, like, if I had to pick between the three, I think I would have probably picked Ziggler. Like, I think Ziggler's just become terrible. Like, I think it was probably the best choice. But I think there is an argument to be made that, like, I think because, but these arguments weren't made. But I think he does get lumped in as a great worker, but I don't think he's ever had a great match. Like, he's had a couple of good matches, but I mean, what do you think, Brian?
Sorry. Well. The whole thing is his gimmick is a show stealer.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't really steal the show at all. He never really has.
That's such a stupid gimmick. Like
the Survivor Series match with where Sting came down, where Ziggler won, was pretty good. That was a pretty good moment.
That was, but for a one-on-one match, he really hasn't had a stand-on match once in his career, I don't think.
Yeah, and I kind of think now
he's had a couple okay ones, but
his matches with Mysterio were good, like at the SummerSlam, and Bret Hart suddenly. But I remember his matches with Mysterio being okay, but those were a long time ago. And I would argue that the Survivor Series one, you're right. I think that's a legitimately great match, but I'm not sure how much it being him added to it. It's more that someone was down 3-1, you know, like.
Right. I mean, I remember watching it, and there was this sense that he was finally, you know, or he was getting a push, quote unquote, that he deserved.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably similar to like a Cesaro winning it now, I guess, right? Everybody thinks he deserves a push.
Are we going to keep falling for that as fans?
Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so going into the final round of this, of the five-round series, the scores are Rogers got 2, Brian 1, D'Amato 1. So that means, Roger, you're automatically in the final. You still got to go with this one. So this will be to determine who you're going up against.
What if it's 3-1-1? What happens there?
We will go for a tiebreaker, which will basically be something similar to the speed round. We'll give a question and they'll go for it.
Okay.
Cool. All right. So round 5.
Round number same.
See, I feel like there's a long pause, which I'm fine with, but I'm not sure if you're going to jump in or not.
Well, I think I want to give it some kind of emotional flair, some anticipation.
You nailed it. Round 5. Who is the best dressed man in wrestling history? Who is the best dressed man in wrestling history? Mr. D'Amato, start us off.
This man was a pimp, and he dressed like a pimp. And he later in his career, he was a preacher, and he dressed like the baddest preacher there was. And he was a bad yardbird eater. He starred in the greatest video of all time, Jive Soul Bro. All I gotta say is, what other character had the nickname the Doctor of Style? And if we're talking about best dressed, what other name could be better than the Doctor of Style? Slick is the best dressed ever.
Okay. Super slick. All right, Brian, who you got?
I have Ric Flair. This is someone who years came out every 6:05 on Saturday with a suit, with a Rolex, come to the ring in a beautiful sequence robe. And when you think, you know, the best dressed wrestlers in history, it has to be Flair. You know, he's worn those suits for years. He's my pick.
Roger, what you got?
All right, so for this one, I went with the Macho Man, Randy Savage, to pair with my earlier pick of Elizabeth. I feel like I looked at this one from a little bit of a different lens, kind of the lens of originality. So the Macho Man didn't have the suits that Flair and Slick did, of course, but I felt like his wardrobe was one that only he could pull off, and it really added to his persona. He had the bright colors, the tassels, the cowboy hat, the sunglasses. Some of the most iconic pictures in my mind from my youth of watching wrestling, and the Macho Man perched up before the match on that second rope, arms out, it looked like a tie-dyed eagle, and he did parlay it into a nice little Slim Jim career as well. So I thought Macho Man was best dressed.
All right, D'Amato, why is Slick more of a fashionista than Ric Flair or Randy Savage?
Well, I'll eliminate the Macho Man in about 3 seconds. I mean, you know, all his gear was from seamstresses, just robes. I mean, you never seen him in clothes. I think the few times he did, he looked like a slob in some jeans or whatever. You know, he had to have those fancy fruity robes to make up for his lack of hair. So the Macho Man you could eliminate. Now Flair is up there, of course. I mean, styling a profile, wheeling and dealing.
But I think Slick rocked just about every color of his suits, with the suits and the cane and the hats. He just rocked every color, every style, and he was tall, so he made all the suits look good.
Brian, why does Flair trump Slick and Savage?
Well, to go back on the outing on Savage's look tying to his character, I mean, Flair's look tied right into his character as well. He talked about, you know, how much money he spent in the suits all the time and all the women he had and, you know, flying on jets and driving limousines and all that. We went with the whole persona with him, too. And Slick, you know, Slick's suits looked awesome, and so did Flair's, and Flair talked about his suits looking great all the time, so it made more of an impact when he came out in the suits.
Okay, Roger, what's the deal? Why is the Macho Man so much better dressed than Ric Flair or the Doctor of Style?
So, I mean, when you look at it, I think it comes down to originality. I mean, anybody can put on a suit, right? And Flair, you know, Flair wore the suits well. Him coming to the ring, I mean, he kind of wore your basic robe, right, that just said Nature Boy on the back, had some fluff to it. Slick's a tough one because Slick was a pimp, man, you know. That version of Slick, I have very little to say about it in a negative connotation. The Preacher version, he kind of reminded me they were ripping off Coming to America with Randy Watson, you know, that guy. And but I just feel the Macho Man, it was different. I don't know if that makes it better. For me, it makes it better in that if you put Slick or Flair in that outfit, I mean, they would have gotten laughed out of the room. Macho Man pulled it off.
Okay, final thought, D'Amato.
Well, the fact that Roger had to keep mentioning Elizabeth, I mean, that tells you right there, nobody's looking at the Macho Man's robes and everything. They're looking at Elizabeth's tits. I mean, so, you know, you could eliminate him. And then Flair was usually in a championship match. So, I mean, his wrestling was his main gimmick. Yeah, the robes and the styling and profiling. But who else could pull off being a preacher and a pimp? Besides the Doctor of Style. And who else was called the Doctor of Style? I mean, his nickname says it all.
Brian, final thoughts.
For Flair, I think when you think of, you know, which wrestler looked the greatest, is I think Flair. He kept on talking about his suits all the time. He looked great in them. It's more iconic Flair in the suit than Slick in the suit, I thought. But I think Flair is the best all the way.
Cowboy, last shot, Macho Man.
You know, this is one where you're going for somebody who's a little bit different, a little bit off the beaten path, and he's the only one who could pull off his gimmick. The other two guys are, could throw anybody in those outfits, and they do the same thing.
Okay, Ivan. Oof.
Oof.
I know, right?
Well, my first thought is the two suits eliminate themselves, but then I have to think a little deeper, because... What are we talking about?
It's about the argument, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Exactly. But you know, at some point, two people are arguing which suit looks nicer. I mean, the content of the argument does play a role in it. I think so. I think the first instinct I had was that there was a differentiator in one of the arguments, in the sense that, you know, it colored the character in a way that the other two didn't have an advantage to use.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, I think it all depends on, I think it all depends on who had the stronger conviction that their character was the best dressed.
Right. Well, here's kind of what I'm thinking. Tell me what you think about this. Because, like, I think they all made great points about how the costume or the suit or whatever was the character. I think they all made that point very strongly, right? I think that worked. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and then I guess, you know, if all else being equal, if that's on an even playing field, whose character came out more visually?
Well, see, but I don't know if that was the argument that was made, because
Exactly. None of them made that.
So here's for me what it comes down to, and it's really simple. Both, everybody, The only person that everybody agreed was a tough one or a good one was Slick. Right? Like, there was an argument against Ric Flair in the suits. Anybody could put on a suit. There was an argument against Savage. Like, when you take him out, he's wearing, like, dumpy jeans or whatever. But both Brian and Roger both took time out of their arguments to say, yeah, Slick was really good.
Yeah, I think they backed themselves into agreeing with one of the arguments.
Well, that's it. And so we didn't really take Slick down. And I do agree with the argument that Flair in a suit is probably more iconic than a suit, than Slick in a suit. But that's not so much a takedown of what Slick's actually wearing or whatever. Again, it's pumping up Flair, which is good, but both came to a consensus that Slick was still really great.
Whereas, yeah, like I would have liked to hear that it's the character that made the suit in Slick's case rather than the suit making the character.
Yeah.
You know, as a rebuttal to his, you know, to his strength, you know, and that wasn't made either. So I think, yeah, like you said, he kind of snuck in there and they kind of piled on each other with Flair and Savage.
Yep.
And, I think I agree. Like Slick probably takes it with a little bit of a backdoor entry.
Yeah, I think. And it's very fitting that the point goes to Mr. J. Arsenio D'Amato.
I'll take it. That's okay. I'm open to anything. I'll take it.
Okay. All right. Well, look, well played, guys. We're down. We went through the round, the five rounds. Final score going into Roger Morissette, 2. J. Arsenio D'Amato, 2. Mr. Brian Bayless, 1. So D'Amato and Roger are going out to the final. Brian, awesome job, though, man. I think you did fantastic.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
No, man, dude, awesome. You did great. Now, are you good to stick around and help us judge
the
finals? Awesome.
Absolutely.
Cool. So we're going into the final round. It's going to be a speed round. They're completely blind. These guys have not seen the questions. Right now, everything's tied up. Both guys have 2 points. So we'll see who wins. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the question. Whoever shouts out their answer first will get to go with that answer and argue that point. And then the other person is going to argue a second point. So your first, as opposed to the first one, like really quick 20-second reason why your choice is correct. And then we'll have like about a 5 to 10 second rebuttal for each, okay?
Yep.
Got it.
All right, boys, are we ready? Final round.
Final round. Sorry, that's how I forgot.
It's okay. It felt genuine though. Good. Okay, so first question. Who wins a fight? Batman or the character Hulk Hogan?
Batman.
I heard Roger go Batman first. Ivan, does that make sense? Yeah?
Yeah, it sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, so Roger, how does Batman beat Hulk Hogan?
You know, even Hogan in his prime would not be able to deal with all the bells and whistles that Batman's bringing to the table. You know, Batman's got the suit. Batman has the weapons. Batman has the car. Batman has all these different paths to victory in the fight. Whereas all Hogan has is his, you know, he's got the big boot and the leg drop, which, you know, the boot's going to hit the chest play, the leg, it's just not going to happen. Batman wipes the floor with them like Thunderlips wipe the floor with Rocky.
All right, D'Amato, how does Hulk Hogan beat Batman?
Oh, easy. He fights 30. You know, Batman's always like, you know, I'm too good, I'm too clean, I don't fight 30. Hogan would be pulling Batman's mask off, probably would be calling Batman's costume, you know, calling some good names because Batman's costume is black, I think. So, you know, Hogan would be kicking in the nuts. Hogan wouldn't stop cheating. So, and then Batman would be like, oh, I can't do that. I'm too pure. Gotham City, I don't want to deface Gotham City by fighting dirty. So, no, Hogan would take him down.
5 second rebuttal,
dirty
Roger.
Fighting all the way.
Batman beats dirty guys up for breakfast, eats them for breakfast. The Joker, Bane, those guys fought dirty, and Batman owned their asses.
D'Amato, 5 second rebuttal.
Oh, Joker, Penguin, all those guys were wimps, man. They used to fight. They didn't have the muscles. They didn't have the pythons like Hogan, man. Hogan would choke him with those pythons. Stick that mask right down his throat.
He wasn't even hardly human, the pythons. You kidding me?
All right, boys. Ivan, what do you think?
I mean, in my opinion and in the argument sense, Batman took it.
Brian.
I mean, if Hogan had something on the
what?
On his sense for the fighting dirty, he took it down with the proof that Batman fights all kinds of criminals. So I would have liked them see a comparison to Batman fighting Bane as someone that's kind of Hulk Hogan-esque, but nonetheless, I think Batman wins.
Brian, what do you think? Are there arguments?
I'm gonna have to go with Batman too on this. You know, like I haven't touched upon, I don't think Batman's fought all sorts of people, all sorts of criminals. Hogan's only, you know, fought his friends that turned on him really, and I don't think the prayers and the vitamins that help the Hulkster there either.
Yeah,
I don't think any faults are gonna crack or split open when he slams Batman like he did Andre. So I think Batman takes this one.
Yeah, I mean my vote doesn't count because you guys are already 2-1. But I think Roger just made a few more arguments as to what Batman would bring to the fight. But if D'Amato had just mentioned the Hulk up, I think the Hulk up, because when he gets in that mode, nothing can hurt him, right? But it wasn't brought up, so Roger gets the point. So we are at 3-2. D'Amato is down by one, but there's still questions left. Question number 2 of the speed round. What is the worst match of the year so far?
Ambrose Asylum.
Natalya.
Okay, Roger got Ambrose Asylum first. So you'll go first, and D'Amato, you're doing Charlotte Natalya, right?
Right.
Okay, Roger, why is Ambrose and the Asylum match the worst of the year so far?
It was 26 minutes of pure hell. The last minute was okay with the thumbtacks. Other than that, the crowd wasn't into it. No one gave a shit about it. They didn't use the props properly because they can't really do the blood thing too much these days. It was a bad spot for Chris Jericho to be in. Doesn't belong in that kind of match at this stage of the career. Nobody gave a shit about it, and they let it go for half an hour and it killed the whole fucking card.
D'Amato, why is Charlotte Natalya worse?
It was a submission match, and Natalya, they were both boars doing nothing around the ring. And when Dana Brooke came out as Ric Flair, Flair's music hit. Natalya just wanted to say, oh, that's Flair. She was just pointing. She wanted to take the cheap way out with a dumb disqualification. And then when she saw that it wasn't Flair, like a dummy, she just, you know, she falls for it. And, of course, she gets distracted and submits in about 2 seconds there. And it was a boar fest in the 5 minutes before that. They just, you know, held each other around the ring. It was a real disaster.
Roger, 5-second rebuttal.
So, it was shorter. So the fans weren't, didn't have to put up with it for as long. And that match was fine, D'Amato, until the very end, whereas the Ambrose Asylum match was awful all the way through and then was a little better at the end.
Rebuttal, 5 seconds. D'Amato.
The spots with Jericho for a 45-year-old man to handle falling face first on all those tacks, he's got to get some credit there. Yeah, so that brought the match up from a 1-star to a 1.25. While Charlotte and Natalya, there was absolutely nothing redeeming about it. So at least with that, the Asylum match had a tack spot to redeem it. And Charlotte and Natalya had absolutely nothing. It was a 0 dud-a-rooney.
Okay. Brian, based on their arguments, who do you think had the better argument?
I think they both made pretty good arguments. I mean, Roger's playing about the match going 25 minutes, you know, just shit until a thumbtack spot was really tough to watch. But then the other hand made a good point about the thumbtack spot actually being memorable, whereas the Trout Natalya was forgettable garbage too. But at the end of the day, that, you know, like a half-hour match, that sucks. This is too much.
Yeah.
I'd rather have my shitty match be 5 minutes and a half hour, so you go with Roger there.
Ivan?
I'm going to go with the Natalya match.
Oof.
I think the reason the arguments were pretty strong on either side, but I think the one that was made at the end where there was a redeeming quality to the Ambrose match, I mean, that you know, anytime there's a grand finale, people are going to remember that, you know, no matter if the match was a dud. You know, Canada-US in the Olympic final back in Vancouver was a horrible match, but it was a great overtime goal. So,
right.
You know, nobody remembers what happened before that. And I'm not saying that, you know, I think that was a better match. It just the argument that the finale happened and that there was some kind of pop at the end, I think gave it to the argument that Natalia's match was much more of a dud.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm the tiebreaker then. See, here's where I'm standing is that, like, in the end, it comes down to me is it's the time thing again. Like, is it now had D'Amato made the argument stronger that it was a distraction finish? I think I would have gone easily with Charlotte and Natalya because I'm fucking sick of those. But because of the argument was made that it was so much longer, I got to go with Roger again. So Roger, 2-1. Roger gets the point.
Break out the brooms, baby.
Break out the brooms. So right now we're at 4-2. We have three questions left. If Roger gets this next one, he wins the game outright. So D'Amato, you got to win to stay alive, my friend.
This is desperate times. Now's a good time to break it out. I have to mention that Corey Hart is one of my favorite artists of all time.
sing one song of Corey Hart's.
And if you're living on your own, you will never surrender. Oh. And if your path won't lead you home, you should never surrender.
Yeah, well, that killed any grace you had with
me. No, it totally won some with me because he didn't do sunglasses at night.
Oh, that's true.
He showed himself to be all, maybe a
I could
fan.
Do deep cuts too, but I think I tortured you enough.
So. Not just us, my
I
friend.
Agree with that, for sure.
Not just us. All right, question number three. D'Amato, you got to get it to stay alive. What is the best match ever to take place in the month of June?
Tough for me without a calendar, guys. I don't know.
D'Amato?
I'll go with the Money in the Bank from Boston 2 years ago, maybe 14, when Seth Rollins won.
Are you saying that just – oh, no, we weren't – yeah. Are you saying that just because we saw it together?
It was 2014?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Either way, he wins. Cause
yeah, I know. Well, no need to argue that one.
I could go Usos Wyatt's from the same show now that I know it was in June. But John gets that one.
Yeah, John gets it. The one I'm surprised now that you mentioned was the Hell in the Cell Foley Taker.
Right.
I thought
right,
that was the little.
I'm not the historian. But if you asked me what the best Hell in the Cell match was, I would definitely said that.
Well, perhaps for a future episode. All right, so we're at 4-3, Roger. D'Amato's still alive. I hope you'll be able to do this one, too. Who is the best referee in wrestling history?
Danny Davis.
Oof. Okay. D'Amato.
I'll go with Earl Hebner.
Earl Hebner. Roger, why is Danny Davis the best?
So, dangerous Danny Davis. I remember from my youth. He's one of the few to actually end out in the ring as part of a feud. And gotta love that. Gotta love the fact that he didn't take any shit, and he knuckled up and got in there.
D'Amato, Earl Hebner, why?
Earl Hebner wasn't a mark for the business. He received an order, and he took that order out. And he didn't let that Canadian crybaby change his mind. He had to do what he had to do, and he screwed Britt, damn it. He screwed Britt, and he was proud of it, and he up to it after.
Roger, 5-second rebuttal.
So I think you made a case why he's the worst referee in WWE history. Davis, solid ref, got in the ring, knuckled up.
D'Amato, 5-second.
Danny Davis also screwed many people. He screwed the Bulldogs, who I believe the Dynamite Kid is one of them Canadian, the Dynamite Kid, maybe. I'm trying to curry some favor here. So he screwed you guys too, Danny Davis, man.
I love how you're trying to curry favor after you said he killed the Canadian crybaby. Oh, God. Okay, Ivan, where are you leaning with this one?
Oh, well, Danny Davis gets the point. I mean,
Jesus.
I mean, you insult Brett, and then you try to make up for it with whoever that was in the full British.
Dynamite Kid was a Canadian? Did I miss out? Oh, fuck.
They're the British Bulldogs.
Oh, damn. But he wrestled in Canada a lot, so.
Yeah,
I'm all over the place.
Okay, Brian, what do you think?
Yeah, that was something. I guess I'll go with Danny Davis.
That's
the point that's better made.
Yep.
I don't know. It's a tough category.
Yeah, doesn't matter what I think. Roger gets the point, and our first ever crisscross champion, the Cowboy, Roger Morissette. Way to go, man.
I did that for the New England Patriots. Patriots. Take a seat, Giants fan. You're in too deep tonight.
Yeah, that's what Boston guys are good at, arguing. They're good at arguing.
All right, boys. Well, listen, that was awesome. That was lots of fun. I think everybody had some great arguments. We'll keep doing these things. Please, guys, if you listen to the podcast and you have a difference of opinion about if we judged it right, if we judged it wrong, write it at the Facebook chat. Write us at placetobenation.com. If you want to make your own arguments as to who is the most overrated, who'd win a fight between Batman and Hulk Hogan, please, if you want to write some fan fiction, by all means, leave all the messages there. Before we get out of here, Roger, anything you want to plug?
Sports, PTBN Sports Lounge making its triumphant return next week with myself, Cowboy Senior, and the one and only John D'Amato.
Oh!
If you like hearing me and D'Amato argue, you should tune into that as well, because there will be plenty of that on there.
Amazing. Brian, what you got down the pipe?
I always check out Place Be Nation. I review Raw every Monday. I do the pay-per-view previews, the Friday before the pay-per-view, and also I do tons of retro reviews, old WWF, Ring of Honor, some current independent wrestling over at Scott Key's Blog of Doom.
Fantastic. D'Amato, anything you want to get out there?
Well, I'm like the whore that, you know, when it's 3 a.m. and the bar's about to close and, you know, nobody can get a guest on. So, you know, usually I'm on with Scott with the main event when he can't get a guest on and, you know, Roger when he's desperate, so. But also, I'm a PTBN's number one supporter. And, you know, hit up on Facebook and let them know about the bias with two Canadians and two Bostoners giving it to the New York guy, man. Let them know that we're not going to stand for this bias on Facebook, Twitter, and all social media.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we went for the argument bashing the Canadian guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even like Bret Hart, all right? So let's just put that out there. All right.
I think Elizabeth's tits, even though they're dead, I think you guys were blinded by them.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Blinded by those bones. All right, so for Ivan, you got anything you wanna plug before we go?
Well, all I got to plug in is my laptop because you guys have been draining my battery all night. But no, I just want to thank you. Thank you for letting me join this extravaganza. I had a really great time, and I think this was an educational and wonderful experience. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much for being part of this. Thank you for listening, everyone. So for Ivan Vukov, Roger Morissette, Brian Bayless, and J.R. Senator D'Amato, this is Aaron George saying thank you for listening to The Criss Cross, and we will make you jump.
The champ is here.
I call bullshit. Stay classy, San Diego.
I lost the two Massachusetts morons.
You should have gone with
that. Still beat me, so you lost the one.
It's true. Sweet.
And at least we both picked someone that was alive, but, you
know. One of you would have definitely won if you said Maurice.
Oh, God. Of course, yeah. That was.
Yeah, you
got to kiss an ass to the judges.
You didn't play to the judge at all on that one.
Yeah. And if we could have come up with a French term, that would have it. We could have sealed the deal.
The term you're looking for is fourré, I believe.
Oh, fourré. Oh.
Don't
make it sound romantic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's not romantic at all. I love myself, knock it, I love myself.
yourself wet.